Let me begin by saying, Matt, on behalf of myself personally, my wife and our family and my church family, thank you for putting a good word in to Brad and Aaron, okay? Brad kind of alluded to it. He wasn't completely honest. Reverend Wheeler first reached out to me months ago about doing this. And I gave him a very succinct and a very specific answer. It was no. And he came back. This time he was a little cagier. And he involved some other people and kindly hemmed me in. So here I am. For my benefit, let me just lead us in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you would use this opportunity to edify and build up the body of Christ by what is said, but more importantly, by what is heard. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. They've got the text printed here for us. And when Brad first found out I was willing to do it, he sent me some information. He said his philosophy about Sunday night devotions were that the Sunday morning message was the main meal. That was the main course. And the Sunday night devotions were sort of like an after-dinner meant. You know, just something that kind of builds on that. And that they were complementary in everything. So in that sense, Proverbs 23, 20 and 21 is a complement to the Ephesians passage 3 through 21. Now, all of you were here this morning, or most of you were, and you heard Brad make a reference to Proverbs 23, 29 through 34. That passage also talks about the dangers of excessive alcohol. Now, it just may be me personally, but I find it a little off that he would pick the other passage, 20 and 21, which also speaks to gluttony. Now, that's kind of cruel for a fat man to have to talk on the gluttony one. So you need to be a little more sensitive, Brad. Now, I take it that the passage printed in the devotional notes is out of the ESV. But because I have some real good friends who read other translations, I'm going to read the same passage to you out of the King James. It says, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." The NIV says, "Do not join with those who drink too much wine, or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." Now, I can assume that if I ask everybody here whose goal in life at a younger age was to end up in poverty and dressed in rags, nobody would raise their hands. So, unless you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior and have a one-on-one relationship with Him and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, there are many passages in the scriptures that are confusing. They don't make sense. You don't get the import of them. And that's the way I was for 24 years. But once you have the Holy Spirit, it interprets things and applies things to your life. Now, Proverbs 23, 20 and 21 speaks to everybody. You don't have to be a Christian to understand. You run around with what was called winos when I was a child. That's what my mother used to scare me with if I went out after dark. You know, watch out for the winos. And if you run around with the people who just eat all the time and gorge themselves, you know, there's the result. So if we go back to our early classes on writing and stuff, there are always who, what, when, where, why, and how. So just reading it superficially, you have the what. Don't be among the drunkards, the ones who drink too much wine, and among the gluttons. And the why is immediately after that. because you'll end up in poverty and rags. So now, having the what and the why in place, let's think about who is the next thing we want to answer. And literally, anybody that reads this, certainly all of you here tonight, this applies to you now. There's a warning. There's a caution. And so the who is all of us. Now, what about the where? The scriptures don't limit the where to any one place. It's not just in bars and buffets that you have to watch out for. It's anywhere. Okay? Next, we're going to look at what? No, not what. Whenever. When? When can these things take place? We have an enemy. That's clear from the passage in Ephesians we'll get to here in a couple weeks. But we have an enemy. And the when can be almost any time. You can slip and fall. It doesn't have to be a big choice. It takes place in any number of situations and any number of circumstances. Now, the most important part of the scriptures for me is once I read them and try to understand them, is then applying them to my life. And that's where the how comes in. I once attended what I would call a excess drinking wine party. Now, I didn't drink wine, never had wine, but I drank other stuff, and I thought, well, I can handle this, just go, won't be a big deal. I don't even like the stuff. Well, as a result of that night, I spent about 36 hours in what I would call pretty abject misery. And I learned a lesson that I won't fall for that trick again. But a lot of times the advertisement or the opportunity is not so clear cut. You may not realize that's what you're being invited to. And so as we look at the how and how we can use it in our life, I want us to think about choices. One of the, what I think is one of the great undercurrents of the Bible is choices. If you think about this, God chose Abram, he chose David, he chose Mary to be the mother of Christ. He chooses people. And in like turn, he lets us make an awful lot of choices. Now, I'll use the frequent name, Brad, mentioned this morning that we were supposed to be a distinctive people, a different people. We're supposed to stand out. What makes us stand out will be the choices we make. And those choices have effect. We can be, and from the Ephesians passage this morning, we learned that we can choose not to be involved in immorality. We can choose not to be partakers with people that are disobedient to the word and ruin their lives. We can choose to learn what pleases God. We can choose to walk as wise people. Now, if this was a smaller class, I would call on individuals and ask you how you have learned to make those choices. For me, I have found that by sad experience sometimes that I make better choices when I begin my day reading parts of God's Word and then visiting with Him in prayer about how that applies to me and what my day has in store. That's particularly helpful because I don't know what my day has in store. I have a secretary and have a calendar and all that, but I promise you it never goes the way I've got it scheduled. But He does. He knows what's coming up. The passage out of Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the immediate answer is by keeping it according to God's word. The New Testament corollary to that is, be ye not hearers of the word only, but be what? Doers of the word. So the application part, the how part, is critical if we're going to live like Christ intended us to live. That Ephesians passage this morning, you know, we've had the passage, I don't remember exactly who preached it, but where you take off the old and put on the new, without taking off the old, the new won't ever fit right. It just doesn't wear right. It won't sit well. And it was clear from the message this morning that we're not supposed to live the way the world lives for 5 or 6 days of the week, and then all of a sudden make a change for our family on Sunday. That won't work as well. Christ-like one day a week is not Christ-like. Our choices determine our lifestyle. Our lifestyle determines our habits, and our habits determine our character. Brad mentioned this morning that people of character, we don't have leaders that are necessarily people of character. The whole list of ones that have fallen in recent weeks or months, their character wasn't true. I had the privilege of doing domestic relations law for a number of years. And for those of you that are freshmen, that means divorce work. And what I picked up on a lot of people was that they married someone because of some external quality, never paying attention to their character. And then they were in talking to someone like me about how to get out of the situation. As I said earlier, and as the message this morning pointed out, God's church is to be distinctive, different from the world around us. And it will begin with the choices we make throughout each day. One of my greatest joys in life, and any parent will be able to echo this, is seeing your children make good choices in life. You know, from kindergarten or right on up, even before that. And I think when we make good choices, it pleases our Heavenly Father as well. And that was one of the topics this morning, is learn what pleases the Father. Let me close with just a word of prayer. Father, help us as a community of Christ to be doers of your word and to be a light to this city and this area and this university. In Christ's name, amen.